You want to start it out this time?
Hey, folks.
Hello, friends.
I don't even know how to start it.
This is another...
Dialogic Podcast. Is it dialogic or dialogic? We should know that.
Tomato, tomato.
Right.
I've always said dialogic.
I know, but I say dialogic.
I like dialogic better.
Ooh, I just...
Logic sounds like log.
I love how I kind of just like, okay, cool.
Dialogic.
Welcome to the Dialogic Podcast with...
Jake J. Thomas of Jake J. Thomas Photo.
And Madison. I'm going to change that.
Madison Marie Models on Instagram. And also...
And
MadisonMarieModels.blogspot.com for the blog. So, hello folks, hello friends. Happy
hello
holiday weekend.
Hello humans.
Yesterday, are we going to upload this today? I think
we should.
Yeah.
We should definitely upload this today.
So yesterday is yesterday.
It's the current event.
Yesterday is yesterday, and it was Thanksgiving. And we came to some interesting conclusions about the direction we want to go in with our work.
Business.
And the guiding principle is creating some content that is good for business.
It's that line that we always go to when we talk about. It's just becoming a lot more clear. These days, I think.
You know, being good at business is super important to be able to spend as much time being creative, which, you know, is going to help you to get better at your craft. When you are, you know, trying to do an assignment, that's a paid assignment, you really have to put a lot of stuff aside that's your personal style, and you have to learn how to work with a brand. So you have to study their aesthetic and figure out, like, voice.
How do I fit? Where do I fit?
What is the vibe? What is the emotional read of an image?
Do I fit? Yeah, exactly.
And so we had recently done, we did a shoot for Synergy Clothing, but it was our second shoot.
Maybe talk about, so Synergy, maybe say what Synergy is. Synergy is... kind of something to be talked about, you know?
Yeah.
What they're doing.
Yeah. So Synergy is an organic clothing company, and they, you can check out their website. Their clothing is manufactured in India. They have a fair trade, organic, ethical business model. You know, and honestly, we need to research it more.
Right.
Still, we're just getting to know this business.
We're interested. We know, you know, we're interested. That's something we... It's clear.
Yeah. You know, it's a Santa Cruz business that is making some great clothing. And, you know, they're tapped into a nationwide market.
They're very about their people, you know. It's kind of like we were talking about the Honest brand and how important it is to have a soul, you know. And if we want to talk about soul, Synergy definitely has soul.
Exactly. So yeah, so it's one of those brands that you can just resonate with and you can relate to because it's beautiful clothing, beautiful photography, but it's also about purpose.
Right. Sustainability, ethics, like you were saying, you know, I mean, they're very direct about what they are standing for, which is beautiful. It's clear. It's a clear message.
Absolutely, you know, and it's sort of aligned with other brands like, say, Dr. Bronner's, I don't know, maybe like Tom's would be an example.
Yes, exactly. That was a great example.
Patagonia.
Don't know that one.
Yeah, Patagonia does a lot of conservation efforts.
I'm sure there's plentiful that we could go on and on about.
Yeah.
But essentially... Yeah. You know, brands that care. The Honest brand. Just brands that really care about... Oh, God, they said it perfectly in this dang article. It, you know, it's about having the soul and... and essentially just caring. So for so long, it was business was about kind of numbers. Like, remember we were talking about that? Now they're saying it's actually more profitable to really genuinely get down and see what, like, it's more profitable to care about the people, essentially, is what I'm trying to say. In this article, they say it's so good.
And it's just a better, it's a better way of doing business. Like, what we've been thinking about is what is good for business.
Right.
But we also need to think about what business is good for us. Which businesses are good for us.
Correct.
Right? So that's part of it to begin with, is choosing which brands you relate to in terms of their values.
Right, and your own.
So that as you go down that path, you know, you can do in a way that you feel good about.
Right, you don't come up with, like, that weird time where you're like, oh, shoot, yeah, I've been rocking with this, but look how it looks. Like, that's not how I want to be perceived. Like,
yeah, you want something that you can be proud to stand behind.
Right.
And so we kind of had been rethinking. We looked at the photos from the shoot, and we got some great ones, but there was some things
from
about the vibe.
One.
Yeah, from our first shoot with the Synergy clothing. There were some things about the vibe that weren't quite right. And, you know, it took us a little while to, first of all, we were starting a relationship, getting to know each other. And it was finally yesterday that I think it really clicked what
for
we needed
both
to do to get that ball rolling. And partly it's because we discovered this location to shoot in the morning for sunrise. And we're not gonna say where it is because we want to go there.
We are disclosing no information,
but
other than the fact that it's a really good place for us to continue our mornings shooting there for many reasons.
Yeah, and it involves a hike. One thing about the morning shoots is it's so cold that you really feel like, while I don't want to go out there.
Like, literally, you don't want to get, first of all, like, you don't want to get out of your warm, cozy bed. A, you do. And then what? You got to go outside? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But so, actually having some vigorous exercise to start it out warms you up, and then it makes it way more comfortable to be out there.
Oh, yeah. It's night and day. I mean, if we weren't hiking up a hill, I don't know that I would be, you know what I mean? It's just,
it makes it so much more comfortable.
Yeah.
But then also, we're gaining some elevation. So, you know, it changes the view. It gives us that kind of far background, lots of distance, beautiful scenery that is kind of minimalist, too, at the same time.
It is. It's simple.
It's simple. It's not a lot of color. It's pretty neutral in tone. And then just that morning light, that golden morning light. And we're waiting, you know, if we're going to go up there as often as we can, probably about 4 mornings a week. And one of these mornings, that sunrise is just going to explode across the sky, and we're going to get crazy, crazy photographs. But we had discovered this spot recently and decided to make it a habit to go there. And so then once we had figured out what we wanted to do with the next Synergy shoot, we decided to take one of their dresses up there. And we went up there this morning, and it was amazing.
Magic. It felt like a step in the right direction as far as what we were discussing just yesterday, you know, and the direction of where we want to take our business. And then waking up this morning and going out there and basically killing it, you know, it felt so right. It felt so empowering. Empowering is the right word, I think.
It really did. And it was, so we came up with this thing to do also, which was pretty funny because we've been trying to learn about TikTok. And figuring out what we want to do on TikTok. But so today we came up with a fun thing to do, which is, it's freezing in the morning, even with the hike up the hill. So Madison wears many, many layers. She's got pants with sweats over them, the dress over that, a sweatshirt over that, a jacket over that.
And shoes and socks.
And so we found the composition we were going to shoot the dress in, and then we photographed her with all the layers and then took off the jacket.
One by one.
And then took off just one piece of the outfit at a time until she was just wearing the dress. And then we put that together as a GIF, as a little video that we posted on TikTok.
As well as our Instagram story, to kind of self-promote that, so...
You guys can check that out if you're interested. But we're gonna repeat that, and then we realized with the tripod it's gonna be even cooler. So look out for those.
Pretty exciting, and that's just a really good way to show people, like, you know, relatable, behind the scenes kind of a thing. Because a lot of times behind the scenes, as somebody from the outside looking in, although I am a model, I still look at those things and think of it as a different standpoint. I have the ability to. And as like a consumer, I know it can be a little intimidating watching these models just standing there just like, oh my God, here she goes. She moves this way and she kills it. She moves one little inch and it's just, you know, so these relatable little behind the scenes clips, I think, are really good for business.
Yeah, and showing the process hopefully will also help us to talk to people in the industry,
right?
You know, to other models. I think
make those connections.
That's who would be interested in it. But also, I think, you know, getting this type of content published consistently is also gonna really appeal to brands, because I really believe we're waiting to see what they think about it. We sent them a copy and we posted it ourselves, but
them being Synergy.
Yeah, we're waiting to see what Synergy thinks about it. But I believe that we just hit that one out of the park. I think it's such a beautiful photograph.
And you guys can go ahead and check that out. We'll make sure to have that for you, because it's posted on Instagram, both of our Instagram. So
yeah, let us know what you think. We'll add a link to Synergy, and tell us if you think we got that vibe right.
We'd love to hear from you. I love to know what people think.
Yeah, and thanks to those who have been sending in some feedback. We've gotten some interesting feedback.
I appreciate it.
About the social media and family experiment that we're all a part of, and how we can maybe, you know, become more active in directing it. In shaping the direction that social media and family go in.
Right.
But yeah, so all of that, you know, and sometime maybe we'll have the ability to have you call in and ask us questions.
Oh my God.
We're not going to do it live, but yeah, we'll have you record. You can record questions and send them to us. And we will review them, and ones that are funny or interesting.
That's a great idea. I love that. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Take like a little time in the pod to hear what you guys think.
Yep.
Hear what you guys want to know.
So, it was a nice sunrise this morning, and it's a really great way to start the day. And now that we're getting used to it, I feel like we'll even be able to get out there earlier so that we reach the highest point at
sunrise.
But it was cold this morning. There was a lot of frost up there, and it was, you know, definitely...
The windshield on the car was frosty. It took a few minutes to defrost.
Yeah, it was entirely frozen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to get out there, and then...
It feels good. It feels good to get your morning started on a positive note.
Yeah.
Get the energy going.
Get some work done. Get some exercise.
Yeah. It sounds so cheesy, but I couldn't stop thinking, like, I kept wanting to say this when he was talking about this morning. It's like, it literally awakens you as far as, like, your body and your moving and all that, but it also does it to your soul.
Oh, yeah.
So
being outside in nature, and but the sunrise and sunset are just
alone is just so much for me.
No matter I've always been
so attracted to it since I was a little kid. I wake up as early as I can, and then go to sleep. You know, wait for the sunset.
It is
just magical. It's a time that it's a good time to. It's a reflecting time. I don't know. I feel like for me, it's always kind of been that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I told you about how I used to sneak on my parents' roof in the mornings to go watch the sunrise, and I remember I'd always have to try to be so quiet and so careful and tiptoe on the roof. Like, once I was up there, I'd have to try to be really careful, because as, you know, I'm whatever weight it was like, you feel, like, you feel a little, it's like, oh, shit, can't step there, so... understanding why my where my parents come from now as a young adult. It's funny.
You dry snitching.
Oh, they know. Oh, they know. Trust me, they know.
Okay.
Straight dry snitching.
Well, sorry, Mom, Dad. That was
shout
me.
Out. No, they knew. You know, that's the thing, is they always knew it was me, and I would always, you know, apologize, take accountability, and then do it again. Like,
But yeah, it's a magical time of day.
It is. It'll make you do those things. Make you get out of bed.
Get into the cold. It was sub-freezing this morning. When we looked and turned the car on, it said 35. Windshield frozen. All the grass up there had frost on it. It's gorgeous. About as cold as it gets here.
It's gorgeous.
We just had a pretty good rain. Well, a really good rain.
It was insane. Yeah,
it was intense.
It was a lot.
But so everything's wet, right? And now then it gets clear, and that's when it gets cold.
Yeah. After. Yeah, no, exactly. I know, it's interesting. My mom was just, the rain thing. You know how most people, I think, off the bat think rain equals cold, but in fact, rain makes it a little warmer.
It warms it up. Yeah, it's when it gets clear that. That's when it gets real cold.
Pretty funny.
So, yeah, so our shift feels really, really positive because we want to do things that are good for business and are family friendly.
And that are moving forward.
But are also creatively satisfying.
Correct.
And I feel like all of those things happened today.
And that's why I'm so excited by that. But what happened this morning, it just felt like, again, it just felt like a step in the right direction.
It really did. And, you know, that, to me, that's also, we already received some feedback on it, saying it looked like a painting.
I know.
And I agree. You know, it's actually, that's one of the things, like, there are some famous relationships between artists and models in art history. And one of them is... this N.C. Wyeth was his name.
And have you told me about this one yet?
Ooh. I'll show you some photographs or some images. But he's
been telling me about, like, random, you know, relationships that he remembers, so.
There's some legendary art history relationships between artists and models.
I love it.
And this
so
one.
So inspiring.
This one, I think, we'll research it and we'll get back to you guys next time. But he basically he illustrated this woman throughout his life. And I think she was his neighbor.
Oh, okay.
But he was in love with her.
Right.
It was like a secret love affair, perhaps.
Yeah.
But her name was Olga, and she kind of had reddish hair, but she was always out in, like, this field.
Uh-huh.
Kind of similar to what...
Okay.
So it's almost a similar vibe that we captured today of this, like, simple
open
beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll show you some of those. We'll take a look at those. But we're really wanting to connect to art history too, and, like,
research,
draw some inspiration from the people who
created this space.
Yeah, the people who made a big impact with photography in California before us. So, you know, we're studying the history of these institutions of photography, Playboy, Victoria's Secret, Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, but also the history of California photography, the history of modeling in general.
Period.
Because what we want to do is we want to Now this is another thing I was thinking that is good for business is research first.
Right.
Right? Because, so this is one thing that happened with us on this project already.
Learning lessons.
Is that we're learning. We don't know enough to...
Jesus.
We don't know enough. We still need to learn more to make the kind of content that we really want to make.
Right.
We need to know more about business, but we also need to know about the history of the businesses that we want to interact with. So as we researched Victoria's Secret, we found, you know, that it's a business that has a history where they've kind of gone away from their beginning.
It's so interesting, like, for me, because of the fact that I want, like, as a little girl, like, now that we know what we know, it's so interesting for me to kind of think right about it in that sense, because as a little girl, I would see it as such a beauty, and these women were empowered, and they felt good, and, you know, they may have. I'm not trying to say that they didn't. What I'm saying is now that we know what we know about Victoria's Secret, it's just... It's so interesting.
Yeah.
You paint a picture as, like, knowing something, especially as a kid, as an innocent child.
Yeah.
And then finding out and researching really what it really is. That's why I think it's so important that we give our children the tools to really know things, you know, like, not just throw the internet in their face, but kind of, like, hone in, or I can't think of it, focus in on what they're talking about and what they're thinking about specifically, because every kid is so different in that sense. Their interests, their passions.
Absolutely.
You know, so listen to them. Listen to your kids and listen to what they're talking about and what they're thinking about, because that's what you should be informing them about.
For sure.
Because they're going to have those ideas in their heads and they're going to make it up.
Well, but it's also, it's a way of using their interest to guide them to do research.
Right, exactly. That's what I mean. Exactly.
Like for
giving them the tools.
For example, like, you could do that with anything. That there's a history to everything.
Right. There's, yeah, exactly.
So for example, and there's a history to every business.
Right.
Right. So say your kid is drawing with crayons.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be interesting to know the history of Crayola?
It is, and like the Crayola did that a little bit. For a little bit. I remember being a kid and being able to read the back of the boxes, and they talk about that.
Yeah.
A little bit.
But we could, I mean, even just a quick Wikipedia search, right. We could find out, like, when were crayons invented? What was that about? Like, where did it come from?
Why? How did that... kind of like glass. We were talking about glass the other day.
Yeah. And just even that level of thinking is going to make you experience the whole thing differently. Like, okay, the crayon was invented in whatever. You know, and just knowing that, it gives you the context of the tool that you're working in, you know, but so it's also like...
And it puts it into a different perspective as well for you, because you have a better understanding of what you like and why, almost, kind of a thing.
Well, that's the thing.
You make those connections, right?
And then, because you can, what you also figure out is that sometimes you like things that you don't agree with.
Exactly.
And then you have to make a choice. Do I go with what I like, or do I go with what I believe in?
Right.
And that's an interesting right. conversation.
That is an interesting conversation.
To have with
internally.
Yourself.
Internally.
To have with yourself.
Internally, yep.
You know?
It can be quite the conversation. Quite the debate.
It's a debate.
You know?
And I think that's also, like, going to be an important practice to help making decisions with what you want to do creatively.
Right.
Like, what do you want to put out there about yourself? You may like it, but do you feel like it...
Does it make you feel good?
Does it make you feel good? Do you believe in what it stands for? You know, and how do those things go back and forth? Like, because the other thing is, the photograph we did this morning, which kind of matched a specific set of values
that we just discussed,
it felt super gratifying to do that, just because that was the goal we set for ourselves.
Exactly.
So I think it's kind of...
It's extremely gratifying.
It's a great feeling of, like, wanting to create something, having such intentionality in what you want to create, and then making it happen.
And then seeing it.
And then being so happy with the results.
Right.
That is such a fulfilling feeling that it's almost like the content doesn't matter as much.
And that was talked about with somebody about how, who was it? They said how you can't cry about your piece. Remember? Who was it? It can't be so valued. You know what I'm talking about? Precious to you.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Sorry to go off track, but I know
what you mean.
Basically, you can't sit there and be so... It's kind of like less is more, what we were saying, as far as we want to be better about when we go for a shoot, having know what we want and all that, the intentions, and then also not oversaturating the number of photographs.
Yeah, like, so if you do a shoot and you have like 45, 50 photographs you like, but you've only got an hour to spend editing... You're going to give a really rough edit to these photos, or you're going to choose the best one and spend 45 minutes on editing it.
And then that comes to business. Do you have, how much are you spending time-wise on something, and how much is it
worth
helping you
what is it business? Do? What is it doing to push things forward?
Correct. Or is it holding you back from another opportunity? You know, I mean, it just...
Yeah, you're just wasting time. Right. And because wasting less means getting more done. Absolutely.
Yep.
But so back to that idea of what you like versus what fits your values. When you can like to fit someone else's values, like, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you can see the same. Is that kind of what you mean?
Or even if you get...
Or not the same, but if you can still come together. It's like a partnership, essentially.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you can feel gratification by doing something that fits other people's values.
Right.
Then
right,
it's that. It's a different kind of like.
It is.
Like, it's not like, okay, right. This is what I would like to do with this dress.
Right.
But hitting it out of the park for what they seem to want
felt
to do.
So good.
Liking that.
Is such a good business. That's good.
That's good business, and it's also... That's a kind of like to build on, you know, of like, you're still, it's still feeling based.
Mm-hmm.
You still are feeling successful based on the way it feels.
Right.
But instead of it being about expressing just your own feeling, your own,
mm-hmm.
It's doing something.
For someone else.
That's an assignment.
Yeah.
And I think that getting gratification from pulling that off is a great feeling to build on.
It is a great feeling to build on. I don't want to feel like this every freaking shoot.
Because it also, it takes it into the realm of, like, acting.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where...
Where you kind of have to be... Not someone else, but...
But yeah.
Kind of.
You gotta be someone else. Like, you're not... The thing is, too, I mean...
While not losing yourself, I mean.
Exactly.
I don't know if that makes sense.
There's authenticity in acting still, right? Even though you're pretending to be a totally different character.
We talked about Jim Carrey today. I think that's a great example. Jim Carrey mm-hmm. is fucking Jim Carrey. You watch any of his stuff, and that's Jim Carrey. Will Ferrell is Will Ferrell. You know?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. No matter
certain
what
people,
role...
Adam Sandler, he's fucking Adam Sandler.
For sure. No matter what role they are in, you're going to see something
Jake
of
J.
Them.
Thomas. Of Jake J. Thomas photos, that's Jake, yeah?
I shine through every time. But
my
yeah.
parents call him Jake from State Farm, and I just find that to be really hilarious. Had to say it.
That
Jake
is funny.
From State Farm.
I haven't heard that one in a long time. But
oh, you have, of course you
oh,
have.
Oh, of course I have, but not in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
Gotta
know.
Love family for that, you know.
Yeah.
History. Sorry.
No, it's fine. But the I forgot the train got off track.
Tell me something good.
Oh boy, that's a funny one.
Thanks for your patience with us, folks. I hope you enjoy these little off railings that we get with our train of thoughts.
What were we talking about? People who
Kind of just the satisfaction, not the satisfaction, but how it is to provide something for others.
To fulfill someone else's vision. Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Because, yeah, I do think it's important to do your own work. But until your own work is...
Making the bills.
Making money.
Right.
And making money in a way that you feel leads in the direction you want to go in. Then you got to figure out how to help other people fulfill their vision. But as a model, that's always going to be a big part of what you do anyways.
Right. Absolutely.
Just like as an actor, you might do some independent projects. But right. For the most part, you're going to be part of a bigger project. It's not just going to be your own vision.
You got to give the people what they want, you know, kind of a thing.
You got to give the production what it needs.
Execution. I think Gary Vee said something that really spoke to me, mm-hmm. and I liked it. He said, how you make your money is more important than how much you make.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
And I'm like, you know, Gary Vee, you gotta pay the bills. But at the end of the day, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, because you get... You know, I mean, that creates... The precedent creates the future. The way you make your money is how you're going to continue to make it.
Exactly. You know, so it's like working with those certain companies that fit your values and fit in your lifestyle and all that. That's so freaking relevant in what he's saying.
It absolutely is. And I think that's also how you... Casting. You cast yourself. Like, you have to figure out what brands...
Exactly.
Like, figuring out which brands your values match up with is going to help you to figure out what aesthetic you want to be a part of too, and like how to start growing in that direction.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, there may be things we don't know how to do that a brand wants us to do, but if we study it ahead of time, like we did with the posing for this synergy shoot.
Right, exactly.
We took time and we studied, and then we improved, and then...
We really did. We've been taking, you know, because what happens is you provide something for a company, and especially with the first time in working with them, and you kind of want to see how it is, and you learn from it. And we learned from it.
But one of the things that I learned from this that I would want to do going forward is do even more research... Before doing any work.
Any.
Like, that's very
clear.
That's
a big one we learned. That was a big lesson to learn.
Because you don't get a second chance to make that first impression.
Sometimes you don't. No. No, you don't. But sometimes you just don't get a second chance, period.
Right.
I feel like...
But...
We didn't...
I think it is also true that people like a narrative of growth.
Exactly.
And that's what we are going to do because we're going to grow. So...
Continue.
You're going to see a narrative of growth. But... Going forward, I want to look at brands and really, really, really research them so that in the same way that if we are doing a shoot that is informed by Playboy's history, we know what that means.
Right. Or just working with anybody that we're shooting with. We want to know our subject.
Yeah. Research the style before we try to create. And that's going to inform the choices that we make. But also... This is about trying to help other creatives figure out the business as well. So as we do this, we're trying to figure out the business and come up with the best things that we can do. It's also
smart,
an attempt.
Safe.
Exactly.
It's so important.
And that's the thing, is like...
And focused.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second. One of the things we decided we want to research is portfolio building.
Oh my goodness, yes.
It's such a basic thing, but
it's just so important. It's a lot, you know, and as a model, it seems like a lot, is what I'm saying. It's like, it seems like, oh my gosh, like, what do I do? Where do I start? What belongs in it?
What do people want to see in a portfolio?
Companies, you know?
What are agencies looking for?
So, it's...
And then, how do you build a portfolio?
And stand out and get the jobs.
But... Because also, I think the building portfolio phase is the most dangerous phase of a model's career.
Yeah, Exactly. It is. That's what I'm saying. It seems like such a big deal because it is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's your foundation.
Because once you have an agency, you have a level of protection.
Exactly.
The agency is going to be responsible if they send you out with a creep and the creep does something. There's going to be sexual harassment.
There's accountability there.
There's accountability. Exactly. So there's a level of safety in that where... And also, you're going to be doing stuff that fits the brand, obviously. Right?
Right.
Because there's going to be a designer for the shoot. There's going to be an art director. There's going to be a photographer. There's going to be a stylist. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a hair and makeup artist. You're going to be styled. You're going to be posed. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, exactly.
That part, the agent, we're learning how to do that ourselves because we aren't part of an agency yet. Right. But if we do become signed to agencies, then they will be doing that part of the work.
Right.
But knowing how it works will make us be able to work into their program better, I believe.
Oh, very much so. It's just adding tools to your tool belt, essentially.
Mm-hmm. But the getting to the portfolio stage is, I think, one of the most dangerous parts because the young model has to figure out how to get those photos. And that means, usually that means trading with a photographer for what they want. And oftentimes that may push things in a more sexual direction.
Absolutely.
Because the photographer is doing it for free, so what do they get out of it? A lot of times that's what they want to get out of.
That's what happens as a model. I mean, I can say and speak for it in my own way as in experiences is you go because you need, you know, reach out to these people that you see something in their work that you enjoy, but then you also see there's always something that you kind of am like, I'm going to do this work because, again, you want to build your portfolio.
Right.
Or,
and you never know what a person is shooting that they're not showing.
Correct.
So when you see a little hint of something,
it's like there's something
there
more.
There might be a lot more. Mm-hmm. And so it's sketchy.
And as a young woman, period, not even just as a model, it's depending on how you were raised and depending on the support you have and depending on the guidance you have, it can be really scary. Even with all of, like, having the best of this and best of that and best of this, it still can happen to you. I mean, it happens all the time.
Yeah, so...
So it's so important.
We don't really have all the answers now.
No.
Because we've only just taken on the task of researching best practices for portfolio building. But that's part of what we want to create so other people will have, you know... Because this is happening everywhere. The social media is creating so many more opportunities. There's so many more people who want to be models and photographers than ever before. And so we need to have safe guidelines.
It's becoming a bit saturated, if you will.
And it would be amazing also to talk to brands and agencies and see what they want. What are they looking for in portfolios? How do they look for talent these days? Is it on Instagram? Is it through portfolio submission? You know, how does it actually work?
Right.
So, in order to do what is good for business, you have to do some research to figure out what is good for business.
Right.
You know, so that's what we're going to be working on coming up here as well.
Very excited. I feel like we've grown so much already in such a short amount of time as a creative collaboration and then as partners in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
Like professionally and also personally, which is amazing. So
yeah. Yeah, it's been
crazy.
It's been really cool to see, and yeah, this morning was just a huge step in the right direction.
Absolutely. It's a stepping stone. One of the many.
And because there is a thing, it's like, we don't want to lose all of the energy that we had in this new direction.
Right, exactly.
But the thing is, so we're going to keep doing fun, stuff that we just have for ourselves and that's for our creative process and flow.
Totally.
But it's really important, we realize, to be able to work with brands. So we're focused on that. But at the same time, we do have this idea. I was thinking about it in terms of like Tesla.
Right.
The way Elon Musk, in other words, as a strategy for green marketing, there's this challenge in green marketing.
And by green marketing, I think you should say what you mean by that a little bit.
Okay.
Because it makes sense to me. I just think that it could also might not make sense. Like, I got what you said, but it took me a second.
For sure. I mean marketing that is environmentally conscious. That is,
organic.
You know, pushing for organic farming techniques, for lowering carbon emissions, you know.
All around good.
Things that are
good ethics.
Trying to do good things for the environment.
And the people in the environment.
Well, absolutely. But, like, for example, the creation of hybrid cars was an attempt to use less gas. But there was something about the hybrid phase of cars that seemed unsexy, is I guess the way I would say it.
Oh yeah, my dad refused to get one of them. You know, they're such a nice car.
And then Elon Musk very explicitly wanted to make the Tesla performance, like as fun, as cool, as sexy as the best cars out there. And now he's doing it with trucks. And I think that that's actually a really winning strategy, because if you can do something where the product is actually better and it's better for the environment,
win-win,
that's really going to accelerate the rate of change, because people are only going to do so much based on their desire to do good.
Right.
But they're also maybe more motivated to do what is cool for them, like fun.
100%.
So getting those two things aligned, I think, is really the powerful move. And so kind of thinking like making organic sexy, I think, but sexy in a way that is
family
wholesome.
Right. Family, that holds family values, because when you think of a company, you want to think of it as a family almost.
Yeah.
You know, a business.
For sure.
A good one.
But it's like, in this case, it's, you know, we're thinking about women's clothing.
Right.
And women, some women like to feel sexy.
Mm-hmm.
At all
I would say a lot of women like to feel sexy.
I think a lot do.
You know, but, I mean, it's an interesting time that we're living in, to say the least. So it's hard to even say that out loud, which is kind of interesting, because for so many years, yeah, women want to feel sexy. Like, that was okay to say. But nowadays, yeah, they're just being very careful, because for so many years, that was it, right? Like, women, you're sexy. And, you know, we don't want to feel, like, objectified in that sense. We just want to feel that it's okay to feel sexy rather than, you know what I mean? I don't know. Is that a good way of explaining it?
I think whatever sexy means
to you,
to that woman.
Yeah, I mean, you can be sexy in a head to toe, what is it called, a burqa? Is that the correct terminology?
Yeah.
So you can feel sexy in that. I mean, you know.
I'm sure.
So.
But it's not, but I don't think that all women want to feel sexy. I think.
Right.
That's why I just say, to me, the safest thing to say is, I think there's a market for women who want to feel sexy.
Right. Because there's also a time and place you want to feel sexy. I mean, not, you don't want to feel hot and sexy when you're going and pick up your kid from school. You know?
Yeah, it's a context.
For example.
It's a context specific thing.
So.
But being that there are, just like there are people who want to drive fast cars.
Right.
There are men who want to drive fast cars. There are women who want to drive fast cars. Men and women both want to feel sexy as well.
Uh-huh.
But they also, so combining clothing that has ethically elevated values with sex appeal might be that Tesla of the fashion industry.
Right. And by sex appeal, it's like a natural thing, right? I mean, if you think about sex in a more natural way rather than sexualizing sex, I know that sounds a little weird, but I mean literally porn, for example, is sexualizing and more objectifying. Whereas I can compare that to
like a love scene in a movie.
Yeah.
Where there's sex.
It's very beautiful. It's a man and a woman coming together or whatever.
Okay,
coming
together. Let me put it this way. Yeah. This is one way I would think of it. Like
animals.
Porn is sex for the sake of sex and nothing more.
Correct.
It's not about two people coming together. It's not about having kids.
It's not a connection.
It's not emotional.
Mm-mm.
It's just explicit sex.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a sexiness to all kinds of different things that are not just... Sometimes there isn't even sex.
Right.
But like
passion.
Passion and then sexual tension is sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say...
yeah, exactly.
Like in Pulp Fiction, when the Travolta character takes out the boss's wife, Uma Thurman... And she's, like, seducing him, but he knows he's going to get killed if he does anything with her.
Period.
But they have sexual tension, and then she overdoses, and he has to bring her back to life.
That was such a good movie.
Great movie. But they don't have sex, but there's...
That serious sexual tension. Because there's a sexual tension, you know? It's kind of like leaving something to a viewer's imagination is what it is, so... It's
Absolutely.
Just something to be appreciated.
And so, I mean, that's not exactly a family-friendly example of sexy, but let me try and think
of... No, it's not. I know, I'm trying to think of a really good example of it. Let me think.
Like, what's a wholesome representation
family.
Of sex?
Right.
That's a fucking really good question, actually.
Yeah, and you know, we may not have that right now. It's just...
No.
That's a question that we're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Does media even have any wholesome, healthy...
Safe sex, right?
Healthy representation of sex, or is sex always seen as...
I'm trying to think of a movie,
troubling.
You know, or a book. Like, is Romeo and Juliet a good example or not? Because
no,
I feel like it's
tragic.
Terrible. It's sad. It's
tragic.
Fucked up,
yeah. They both die in the end.
So, you know, but that's beautiful. That's, I mean, a love story is beautiful. Wholesome, though, you know? You know what I thought of right away?
Huh.
I'm gonna lie. The Wild Thornberry.
I don't know what that is.
It's so funny if you did.
Yeah.
Fuck, it's good. Alright, well, if you guys know, you know.
Yeah,
so.
But who has a good, healthy sex life that is also... like a healthy family.
I love this. I love when you get challenged like this. This is a freaking good one. We hit gold right now.
And it's also one of those things like where if it doesn't exist, it should exist. You know?
Yeah.
So that's a good question.
It's a great question.
We're going to be researching these things, folks. How to build portfolios. What are healthy... positive representations of sexuality in culture, how to be more aligned with brands, what brands we want to work with,
right.
What agencies are looking for, and so much more. So thank you for tuning in, giving this podcast a listen, checking out some of our photos on the World Wide Web. And until next time, thanks for listening. This is Jake J. Thomas and
Madison Marie Models
with another episode of the Dialogic Podcast.